This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Some greasy moves by our buddy Lloyd Christmas out in Vegas. Schefter reporting that the Raiders have a GM and coach in place, but they're still looking. Lloyd Christmas is still looking. Really? That is greasy from the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of what he's doing out there, man. Like, I think he's still reeling from John Gruden getting punted and John Gruden getting exposed for the emails and everything that went down there. And I got to give credit to
you. You
want to
talk about causing chaos when guys are in place and you're openly, like, interviewing? Like,
yeah. That's exactly. You're basically telling them, like, if we find anyone that is even remotely better than you, you're gone. And if we don't, you can stick around, and we're going to pretend like it's all good.
I mean, he's got something in his cart, but he's still walking around the grocery store looking for an upgrade. Like, literally, like that space. He might be waiting for somebody out of left field to get fired, or you know how sometimes there's the unexpected. Like, I didn't see that one coming. Maybe he's waiting for that.
He's the kind of guy that would try to trade for a coach and would trade like 10 first-round picks, and the other team would happily accept it even though they wouldn't want to lose that coach, because that can't happen. It has happened before, and I thought I saw a rumor. Maybe it was linking the Raiders. I'd have to find that out, but someone said that there were going to be teams that were going to call Pittsburgh and New Orleans and try to trade for either Tomlin or Peyton. And I don't know, how much do you pay for a coach? Like, how do you even work out the negotiation on that? And then when you bring the guy in, he's got the leverage over you, so he's going to ask for a monster deal.
Sure.
That's exactly what I would expect out of Davis, a.k.a. Lloyd Christmas in Vegas.
But what's a bigger deal than what Gruden had? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't a lot of coaches or GMs just be like, give me the Gruden
deal? Yeah, give me the 2.0. Wasn't
it 10-10 or something ridiculous?
That was always the report. Like, they never confirmed it on the record, I don't believe. But that's what everyone always reported, was it was $10 million a year for 10 years. $100 million deal for John Gruden. And I would say they played as well, if not better, without him. Like, they were an inspired group. I give them credit on Saturday, man. That was a good ball game. That was a really fun ball game. And my boy, Derek Carr, who's a grizzled veteran, couldn't punch in six, man. The red zone offense was awful for the Raiders and the Bengals, for that matter, in the second half. But that was a fun game. And the middle game yesterday was a fun game, and let's hope tonight's a fun game. We got the Rams at home against Arizona, a battle out in the NFC West. And Marcellus Wiley will join us in about 35 minutes on that. The Raptors are in action tonight down in Miami. Kyle Lowry is not playing.
Kyle's taking a
personal day. Yeah, because he was at the Eagles game in Tampa yesterday.
Is that a hangover, you think?
I don't know what's going on with him. He's done that. This happens, you know, in the NBA in particular, where the superstars, they get time off. Like, there might be something going on with him, but he was at the game yesterday. I think he had his kids up there with him. And the news broke last night, yesterday afternoon, early evening, that he was not going to be playing. And it may just be a scenario where he's looking for a night off, or he's not feeling at 100%, or maybe he's throwing his old team a bone and saying, you guys need to win more than we do, so I won't suit up tonight. I don't know. But I give him credit. He's making $30 million a year, and he's just not playing against his former team. I'm disappointed because I wanted to see him play tonight. I wanted to see him up against Fred VanVleet. And I'm worried that he's not going to play when they come up here in a couple of weeks, because – there's not going to be any fans in the stands, or likely won't be many, and who knows if he's going to want to go through with that. So when are we going to see Lowry actually play the Raptors? We just had Nick Nurse on the other day, and we were spending half the conversation asking him about coaching against Lowry, and he was talking about how excited he is and the guys are, and now Kyle's just out. He's not playing.
You always got to be careful with personal issue. What is it called?
Yeah, exactly.
It's personal reasons.
Personal reasons, yeah, because you never know what the hell somebody's going on with. But if you just kind of – like, it's a big moment for Canadian basketball fans, for the Raps guys. I'm sure they wanted to see him. If he just kind of sloughed it off, that would be disappointing. But I'm sure a guy with his stature, there has to be a reason for this. He would at least have the understanding what it meant to everybody involved for him to play tonight.
I would think so as well. And we don't know, and we're not going to pry. We're not going to find out.
Right.
But he was at the ball game yesterday. He was at the football game yesterday.
You're right. You never want to,
because you never know what could have popped up today.
No, but the news came out last night that he wasn't playing tonight. I hear you. Listen, ultimately it won't matter. He will play the Raptors again. I am disappointed because I wanted to see him play the Raptors. Like, I'm looking forward to that moment. It's going to be a big part of Raptors
history. You just hope he didn't slough it off.
Yeah, and I don't think he would do that. It's just, what is the reasoning? I'm curious. Like, I am thinking aloud at this point. What would be the reasoning for him? Because he's been playing, you know, like, if you need a day off, take it off when you play Atlanta, you know, or when you play Orlando. The Raptors are in town for the first time. You're playing them for the first time, and he's not going tonight.
Have you heard a story leaks that he, like, messaged at, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, but, like, not making the game tomorrow, I'm not feeling well, you know, something like that. Like, there are stories, obviously there's stories that I know of, like, years ago where a guy couldn't make it to the game the next day because he had a tough night or whatever, but, like, I doesn't reek of that, but it just doesn't – the optics aren't great. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, ultimately, it's a veteran who's knows when to go, when not to go. It's not the biggest game in the world for Miami. It's more about nostalgia. It's more about I want to see him play the Raptors, and he's not playing tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully all is well and all is good, but you have, you know, I'm thinking it probably is, considering he was at the football game yesterday, but the Eagles lost. His hometown Eagles lost yesterday. The Leafs are back in action on Wednesday down in New York. There's a bunch of games going on today, Martin Luther King Day down in the States, and here is longtime NHLer, NHL head coach, and NHL on TNT analyst Rick Tockett joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How you doing, Rick?
What's up, boys? How's it going?
Yeah, we're doing well. That afternoon game, man, we like watching it. How did you like playing afternoon games back when you were in your heyday?
Yeah, it's funny. If you pull guys, I bet you it's 50-50. I didn't mind them. I actually like it. You get up, you have your breakfast, and you just, you know, you go to the rink and you play. I always thought the warming up is really big. You could tell some guys when they don't have it that night, they're just not warm, you know. So I would say 50-50, like some of the teams I played, some guys hated it. They just couldn't get into it. And they're usually tight games. Usually afternoon games are pretty tight.
Yeah, I never liked afternoon games because I was a routine-orientated guy.
Yeah.
I liked having a nap in the afternoon. I liked having a morning skate to get – but I just always felt that there were so many momentum swings. Like one team kind of was out to lunch in the first period. The other team would kind of wake up in the second and then go back at it. I always felt those were unique games. The way I loved an afternoon game was the minute it was over because you had the rest of your night. You could go for dinner or go for drinks or do whatever you needed to do once it was over.
Yeah, you know what? And sometimes a coach will give you a cookie because, you know, they give you the day off. If you won the game or had a really good effort, they give you the day the next day off. So, you really get 36 hours off, which was pretty cool. So that would juice up a team a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Rick, we were talking before you came on about Austin Matthews, who's gotten right back into the Rocket Richard race. And O-Dog said something interesting. He said, you know, he hasn't really had this – crazy heater. He's been very consistent. He scores night in and night out. But to me, there's games where maybe he's not as visible, but he still ends up finding the back of the net. I'm not drawing a direct correlation, but you played with Mario. There were nights where Mario was real quiet, but ended up with 3 points. Is that what we're seeing with Matthews?
Yeah, they're really good. You know, and he's right, Jeff, about that. The really good players, it looks like they're not doing much, but somehow you look at the other night and it's like they produce somehow. I'll be honest with you, we did the Arizona game on the Leafs, and the Leafs. I know that they were just okay. It wasn't they were bad. And I thought Matthews was so dominant. He missed the net. He had a bunch of chances where that's the night where he gets 3 or 4, and I think that night he only got the one. But he, that's the night, like, I could see, he gets a goal here and there and there, and take 50, 60 goals any way you want it. But yeah, there's going to be a time where, that night or something, he hits a net or something, he should have 3 or 4 goals that night.
Talk, what do you make of the Leafs roster you know, heading into the back end of the season. What do you just make of their overall makeup? What would you do with the deadline? Just general thoughts of their team.
Yeah, I'm always a, you know, deadline when you're that type of team, you got to look for a D. You know, if you want to go long, you have to find that defenseman. Because you know there's going to be injuries, and you, in those seven-game series, those D guys are so valuable. I'll tell you,
are you talking about like a solid NHL player, or you're not talking about some guy you're giving up a seventh-round pick for that's going to be plugged in the final pairing? Are you talking about a quality?
No, I'm talking about a guy that's got to give you some. He's got to give you some minutes. Hopefully you find. I know it's hard to find those guys, but at least a guy can at least get 18 to. Plus minutes, because you're going against Tampa's and Boston's and stuff, and you're going to have that third pair or that fifth guy. He's going to have to give you some minutes. Go against the Stamkos and Points and all these guys. It's hard to hide guys all the time in those seven game series. Up front, the godsend is Bunting. That was a great signing by Dubas. I thought, and it's funny because I talked to a bunch of teams. They called me about Bunting, and I said, "Man, you're crazy. I can't believe that Arizona let him go for that kind of price." But, another guy like that, maybe at least in the bottom six, a guy that's just a guy that just continues to a really good checker that can put some, that can place a seven game series and go head to head with some of the big boys in that division. That's maybe another thing they'd look at.
Are you surprised at all that Bunting is playing as well as he is with the high-end talent? Like, he's been rolling with Matthews recently, and he's fit in incredibly well.
You know what? The superstar guys, I'm telling you, and you can ask Mirror and the Gretzky's, if you have a guy that just plays north and south, he goes through the hole, he can pass, pass the day, he can
smart.
Shoot the puck, he goes to the net. It just makes it's an easier game. So, like, if you watch Matthews, with Bunting will give it to him. He just kind of goes to the net and he's just causing, that's just what you need. Sorry about that. I thought I was on TNT.
We're not on TNT anymore. Come on.
Sorry, boys. Apologize.
It's all good.
He just causes problems. And it's just, he knows exactly where Bunting's going to go. He's not going to play the east-west game. And that's why those guys are successful playing with star players.
Yeah, he's been a real surprise for me. I knew they'd give him an opportunity. I'm not sure Sheldon Keefe saw him playing with Matthews and Marner, but I don't see him moving now because he's fit in as well as he has. And he's filling in for what Zach Hyman supplied for the past 4 or 5 years. And now Hyman's out in Edmonton, and it is getting ugly out there, Rick. I mean, you're tracking it. McDavid's postgame the other night, that is a depressed individual. Like, he is in a bad place. And I feel for him because the Olympics got ripped away from him. That was his chance to go and win a gold, and that's not available to him. And now he's looking at the Oilers. They're in a real bind. Everyone's waiting to see what's going to happen with Dave Tippett, what Ken Holland's going to do. It's ugly. I'm not sure it's rock bottom. What do you make of where the Oilers are at right now?
Yeah, that last game to me is that's a real punch in the gut. I mean, that's the game you got to win. I always felt in any good player, good team will say, like, there's some games where I don't care how you do it, you got to win the game. I know they were up 2 goals. I watched a little bit. I didn't watch the third period, but you got to do whatever to win that game. I don't care if you got to dump the puck in, if McDavid's got to just, and Draisaitl's just got to play a boring game to get that win. That was a killer. Now the momentum is like, how do you stop the slide, right? Obviously structure and it's not, you can't always hit home runs. You can't just, we have to have McDavid and Draisaitl score 3 goals for us to win. They're going to have to grind out a game, a win right now to stop this slide and get some confidence in people. There's a lot of guys lacking confidence on that team.
Well, it should be no problem. They just got Florida coming in Thursday.
No kidding.
Florida, Tampa, I think. The six-game stretch, I think they had a bunch of really top teams. Maybe, if they can get their head out of the water here in these 6 games, maybe this is a turning point for them. I don't know.
It's either that or it's death. It'll be real ugly.
I was going to ask, and this is, I've said this all along, and I've been kind of just, I went back over their last 15 games, and if you look at just statistically, and that's not, that's not the end-all, be-all. But I get – I watched that game the other night. They can't get a save.
Their goaltending is so bad.
And you guys know
–
honest to God, if you just had a goaltender to give you average statistical, you know, I guess, value that night, you might be come out on the other end of some wins. But you're up 3-1 going into the third period. They give up an early goal, 3-2. Then the goalie gives it away to make it 3-3. And you can just see that the team on the bench go – this is what happened to us in New York. This is what happened. Like it keeps happening. You've probably played on teams where you're not trusting what's going on between the pipes. How do you get out of that? How do you build confidence in your group if you can't relax and play your game because you don't trust what's going on in net?
Yeah, that's a huge point. I mean, I've sat on that desk as a head coach where, you know, you lose the game and we have 14 grade A's, the other team has 7, you know, the GM's breathing down your back and you're like saying, hey, well, you know, we just outchanced them 2-1, but they don't want to hear it. Right. They're just saying you lost the game. Goalie, you know, is so like, you know, Darcy Kuemper, when I was in Arizona, he gave our team so much, you know, we didn't have a great team. You know, we had guys that worked hard, but he kept us in games. And so I've been on the other spectrum as a player. Listen, when you have that guy in net who just, you know, look at Vasilevskiy. I mean, during that Tampa run last year, there were some games where Tampa was getting outplayed for 12 minutes and he was just on fire. Then all of a sudden, boom, boom, you know, point, those guys score 2 goals in 2 minutes and, you know, they're up 2-0 after the first. It shoots you right in the eyes because it's like you're throwing everything at the team, can't score. They go down a 1-2 on one and score. Or, you know, they get a, you know, floater from on a power play goal type of goal. And it does hurt you. But listen, you know, they're looking for help. And right now you have to grind it out. I know the goaltenders are a little bit, I haven't really played up to the standard that they want. Even like you just said, Noodles, like just a little bit, you know, just average. But there is a psyche there when, you know, you guys all played, you know, when the goalie is, you know, when you don't have confidence, it's tough.
Well, that's what I'm wondering also just about the big picture. Like in the moment, you're thinking, give me mediocre goaltending. We'll right the ship here. We'll get back into a confident position, make the playoffs. But big picture, don't you have to take a step back and if you're in Edmonton and say, we can't possibly win a cup with this? Like there's just – how is Mikko Koskinen going to win 16 games in the playoffs? How can you have faith that that's going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the odds of it is pretty slim. You know, I will tell you, it's easier said than done because we've all been in that chair. I still think if you have a struggle in the net, you got to tweak your system. You got to almost like, hey boys, we basically the middle of the ice and it has to be covered. Like we got to give the outside shots and sometimes those are going in on some of the goalies, but you got to really play tight in the middle. Like you can't give up those slot shots. You just can't. Like, you know, Tampa and teams like that can afford to play a little looser because they got unbelievable goaltending. You know, Edmonton doesn't, so they got it really. They got to hone. They got that middle's got to be locked up. You can't give any shots in the middle of the ice. That's just the way it is for now. You know, Dave Tipp's a great coach. He's a defensive minded. He knows defense. So it's not like I'm reinventing the Atom here.
Talk, why does the All-Star game suck now? Back in the day, I mean, you were around Mario, and it was like Mario versus Gretz, and everybody actually somewhat tried, and they weren't out of hand with the physicality, but it's gotten to the point where it's unwatchable. It's 3-on-3. Nobody, like, I think it's a disgrace, and there's a reason why players don't want to go. Why is it like that now?
Well said. I mean, I said the same thing, and somebody's going to say I'm a dinosaur. Like, I understand you got the sponsors and you got to do this and that. It's terrible. I coached the one in St. Louis, 2 years ago, and we won, but it was painful. Like, you know, I didn't do anything. I just sat there and watched, and nobody tries. I mean, nobody's back-checking. Actually, I'll be honest with you, our team won because of that. I think Giorgiano, I told him, I said, he was trying to block shots and stuff like this guy, like, which was kind of fun to see. And we had a couple of young guys, Tkachuk and Quinn Hughes, and they were actually trying, but the rest of the guys, like it, you know, no offense to them because I they all don't try.
It's embarrassing.
I agree. Yeah. I'm with you. I know the sponsors and all that stuff, but it is kind of unwatchable. I don't think, it's something that, like, nobody tries. Like, nobody tries. So,
no.
I'm with you on that.
I don't think it's going to change down in Vegas. That'll help. The boys will be out the night before till 7 in the morning. That's really going to they do a lot of back-checking and blocking shots. I don't think that's
There's a lot of clubs around here in Vegas, I'll tell you. So, Maybe the game won't go over. Maybe it'll go under because you guys are so tired.
Exactly. You know? That might be the bet the under, the first time ever for an All-Star game. Bet the under. anyway, it's always great catching up with you, Rick. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, buddy.
Okay, guys, thanks. Take care.
There's Rick Tockett. Yep, you got it. Former NHLer, NHL coach, NHL and TNT analyst joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lean history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.
Ricky with a classic line. He said, all played.
Yeah, that's right. He knows what's up.
I saw that.
He's an Ontario guy. He and I both played, I'm sure, in the MTHL growing up. So maybe that's what he was talking about.
Maybe he's a Barry Colts fan.
Could be.
Hey, maybe a Barry Colts fan. Closet.
Sneaky.
Like,
sneaky.
Hey.
Yep. A sneaky, sneaky fan. But, yeah, he had some great lines. I love how he slides. He's like, the odds are slim on Koskinen winning a cup.
Wow. I mean, honestly, I don't know how you guys feel about this. I was texting with you all about it, too. That's the first time. And this is wrong for me to say. I was more disappointed in McDavid. Like, I get it. You're frustrated. It's not like him and Draisaitl. I think they have not been good.
They have not played
stretch.
Well. They have not for about a month.
Okay, so I get that. But, like, and you can play frustrated. But somebody said to me in the league the other night, it's like those guys are skating around with their lip dragging on the ice. They're complaining to the refs not getting calls. They're trying little stop-up plays. Like, I thought. Now, Ottawa looked a little tired, but I thought their game plan was strong. They did a really good job closing the wall off, and what Edmonton likes to do is use the wall to change sides, and then Draisaitl likes to put his ass out and try and push players off and then create a little space. And the game plan was like, close on these guys, they'll turn the puck over, and then they're not going to work hard to get back. And it was just really interesting. I know McDavid, you know, everyone's like, well, poor McDavid. I don't know. I've seen Alexander Ovechkin for 13 years in Washington, you know, before he won. Sidney, I know, won early on, but then there was times where Marc-Andre Fleury wasn't giving him saves. You know, we've seen frustration from Nathan MacKinnon. These top players, they're the ones who are going to drag them out of it. And I just expect more. Maybe it's because I have high expectations for Draisaitl and McDavid. I know they think they're on an island. But instead of alienating the rest of the team, how about prop them up? That was the first. Maybe
I
I'm
totally,
wrong on that.
I read just, it the exact same way. I thought he looked really disappointed on Saturday night. Yeah, I get that he's dejected. He's not overly comfortable in press conferences. He's not a big personality. He's not a rowdy. That's who he is. You can't hold that against a guy. But he looked dejected. He looked frustrated. He looked like he wanted to say, well, what do you want me to do? You know, basically.
Right.
And that's not the attitude.
Yeah, and I understand what you guys are saying. But just imagine how many times and how many goals and how many point nights. And when you can't get a save like that, you age like dog years, man. Because
he stopped himself once, where somebody asked about something, and I swear to God, the next words out of his mouth is like what you were saying, Brian. Like, what would you like me to do? Put the pads on? Because I swear he stopped himself from saying. He was like, yeah, I'm just not going to. Because it was somebody led him to the question where Skinner turned the puck over, and they got a freebie. And he was like, yeah, you know, is what it is. Like,
it is what it
I
is.
I knew that he said that. And I get it. He's not getting saves. They're playing frustrated, all of that stuff. But I haven't seen that from other leaders and other great players where they're, you know, to me, it's like, I'm going to dig in. I'm going to make sure, like Talk said, we're not losing this game, whatever happened. But there were times the other night where they're up in the game and Draisaitl turns the puck over in the neutral zone and they come back down and get a chance. It's they're not playing with that, like,
it's shocking,
hey, this is our season.
Is what it is. It's
exactly.
Shocking. To
well,
think
it's
of what their team and who they have on their team, and not just shocking that it's actually happening with McDavid and Draisaitl, who are two of the league's best, it's shocking because of the turnaround It wasn't too long ago. They were out in Vegas and living it up and first in the West and going to the Raiders games and all was good. And now yeah. they're in a situation where they're like, they're fighting for their life.
Yeah, they are fighting for their lives.
Agreed.
In the West.
But they have to. And you know what? That's my point. If you're fighting for your life, like, it's simple hockey. It's like, I'm doing whatever. This is their playoffs right now. Like, you know, you're looking at Calgary has stubbed their toe recently. Mm-hmm. The thing about it is, and I think it'll eventually reset. Like, L.A.'s on fire.
Yeah.
Like,
Noodles, I call it playing according to the situation.
No.
Play according to the situation.
Exactly.
It's like, if you were fighting for your life against Ottawa, you would think every guy blocking shots face first, finish hits. Because there should be desperation where, like, just as Talk said, this whole thing is on fire out in Edmonton. So play according to the situation and show everyone that you care and you're going to get out of it. Instead of pouting around like you guys were talking about, that is not playing according to the situation.
Well, and what I mean by that is it starts with 97 and 29, like, and it should trickle down. I agree. Like, Warren Fogle shouldn't be curling and dragging guys. Straight line hockey, do what you can. Zach Hyman, all of that type of stuff. But it starts with your top guys, and to me, I could see how dejected McDavid was, but that's the first time I was kind of disappointed in him as to the way he handled it, other than him just like digging in saying, hey, we're going to be fine. We're getting out of this. Don't, like, I'm going to make sure, that type of thing. And I don't know, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but Ray Hayes, you saw the same thing.
I saw the same thing. I've seen the same thing on the ice though recently. Like, he's not playing with as much life. He doesn't look like he's himself on the ice, but his post game on Saturday was telling, was revealing. I have made this case before. I'll continue to beat this drum. I think he suffered more than anyone else. The NHL is not going to the Olympic Games. That was supposed to be his moment to finally shine, but he can't let that hang over him and let the season get
that
pissed away because of it.
That doesn't hang over somebody. That doesn't.
Man, if it's the only thing you're going to get this year, like, if they missed the playoffs and he didn't go to the Olympic Games, that's a dejection. Like, that's what he's facing right now. Like, they are statistically, I think, based on points percentage, still in or right there. But they're back to a zero goals differential. Zero. Like, that's a telling stat. Like, if you're on the wrong
when
side of it,
when they were,
like,
29 ahead of it.
They were way into the green before.
Anyway, let's
not.
Get to important stuff if we got a break before break. Kenny, my man, play the clip where Ricky Tocchet mentions Hazy B being a part of the group.
Yeah.
But there is a psyche there when, you know, you guys all played.
Yes!
I love it. Rick Tocchet, my boy. I love it. Love having Rick Tocchet on. Marcellus Wiley in about 15 minutes. The Raptors in action tonight. We've got a Monday Night Football playoff game tonight. And it was an absolutely epic round by my boy Hideki Matsuyama in Hawaii. We'll come back and break some of that down as
Henley,
well.
Henley, what are you doing,
that's
Henley?
That's a great white shard on the back nine. That's Norman at the Masters. Like, it's an absolute soiling.
He had a sky dump right in his shorts, like right on about the
5-shot lead on the 10th tee.
Dude,
five
no kidding. And
shots.
I was like, okay, Henley, you just got to close this deal here. And he kept sharding and sharding and sharding. And Hideki was like, fine, I'll win.
Thank
I'll
you.
Take
sure,
it.
Sure, I'll take it if you
but
want to.
But what a shot he hit, man, on the playoff.
That's the best approach shot we'll see all year in 2022. A 3-wood off the deck from 280 to 2 feet? That's gross. Like, just a butter cut into the sun.
Oh,
unreal.
God, was that unreal.
Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
All right, Marcellus Wiley in about 10 minutes on Rams Cardinals tonight. What he made out of the previous games in the wild card weekend, what we have on tap for next weekend, where the Packers will join the dance, the Titans will join the dance, and we got ball games going on, hockey games going on. It's Martin Luther King Day today down in the States, and we mentioned that Hideki Matsuyama comeback on the back nine.
Dude, outrageous. I was just like, Henley's got this weird walk, and I was like, dude, what is up with the... He just started walking faster, and I'm like, this is just not good, man. And he choked it away. He choked it away, and Hideki capitalized. And that's the first PGA Tour call of the year, because you picked him. Because I was in the middle of saying, I'm watching the golf, I'm like, we can't pick a winner in this tournament, and we basically picked the top 12 best players in the event.
And I jumped on Matsuyama. It was a backdoor cover, man. I jumped on him late in the picks, and he jumped into the winner's circle as late as you can get in a playoff hole. And that was tough, the playoff hole, because Matsuyama hits the greatest three-wood you are ever going to see anywhere in the world. Like a 278-yard cut three-wood bounces twice and lands to 2 feet into the sun in the playoff.
Ridiculous.
Hole. It's absolutely absurd. If you don't golf, I'm not sure you can even appreciate how crazy good that is. And then on top of it, Henley sculls a sand wedge over the green on his approach from a buck 10. And it's like,
Henley
what is
was
happening?
Henley, Greg Norman charted it. Like,
yeah, he
was. It was locked down for him. It was just like, close this thing out, maybe make a couple birdies coming in, and the tourney's yours. And there was a couple holes back-to-back, I think it was, with a Matsuyama birdie and a Henley bogey, and it just, this guy collapsed.
He Rory'd the 10th tee.
Oh, my God.
Hooked one left off the 10th tee, and you're like, here we go. He's going to do it. Like, he's going to do it. And then the par 3 11th, he put one in the bunker that you can't do. It just, you could see it unraveling. And
dude, I felt bad for Kurt Byram because, like, the guy in the fairway is like, man, I'm not sure what really happened there on that little wedge shot that he just slashes it and it goes in the bunker. And you know Kurt Byram played the game. He's like, he wants to say on air, this guy has a dump in his pants right now and he can't get rid of it. Like, that is what Kurt Byram wanted to say.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, like, I'm not sure what happened with that shot. The guy with the microphone in the fair. But you know Byram was like, he's taking a dump in his shorts as we speak. Yeah. That's why things are going the wrong way.
Yeah, Henley was rattled, man. He was not in a good place on the back nine. And, like, just the playoff hole, he puts it in the bunker again, back-to-back on 18, and then Matsuyama stuffs one, and this guy's got a stuff sand wedge, and he skulls it over the green. Like, that's my shot. Like, a buck 15 out and a skull.
I would have said, Hideki, I'm actually going to give you the tournament. Can you just go putt that in? Like, I don't want to go play the skull shot and keep embarrassing
I'd
myself.
I'd rather concede.
I'm conceding. Pick your ball up. That's good for a three, and I'm leaving.
I'll take second the FedEx points in the check. And
yeah, because I don't want people to smell my shorts and watch me chip this one around the green.
It's the worst, because you know he's tapping in for eagle, so it's anyway.
And you know, what did he do with the chip shot, by the way? Did he
hooked
that?
It left. It was like he left about 10 feet on the bone on the chip shot.
No.
Yeah, it wasn't a professional chip either. Like, it wasn't – that's an easy course. Like, that's – Brendel Shamley must have said 15 times on the postgame. He's like, that's the easiest course on tour. And Henley went 2 over on the final 10 holes. So, you know, put that into perspective. But shout out to Matsuyama. Now we get back to California. Next week we got a good crew in the tournament and a pretty good field there in Palm Springs. So we'll play that later in the week. And I'm on the Rams tonight. Al's brother will join us in about an hour. We'll see what Al's brother is thinking, because he's picking winners. You know, this is my worst nightmare, Noodles. You know, I've been saying this for a while. This guy's going to start seeing the board. I am not. I'll go to war with that Raiders pick. That was a coin flip at the end of the game. Like, that, I was on the Raiders. I thought it would be tight. I thought they'd cover. Steelers, Chiefs, it is a crushing feeling when you take the underdog and you see Mahomes start playing the way he started playing.
Wow.
Dude.
That was just
the linesman. He's throwing it to a lineman for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Like,
doesn't matter.
Literally, everyone
he's
is involved
so
in the offense.
When him and Kelce and Hill get cooking, that's an ugly trifecta right there.
It's as tough as it gets. And the build, like, that game next week will be the most anticipated divisional game of maybe our lifetime. Like, Chiefs-Bills in the second week of the playoffs is as good as it gets. I mean, that Mahomes-Allen is just, you can't ask for anything better than that. So Marcellus Wiley will join us. We'll get his take on which quarterback stood out more over the weekend. Was it Mahomes? Was it Allen? Was it the young pup in Burrow? We haven't mentioned Tom Brady. Brady was very efficient. Tom did exactly what he was supposed to do at 44, right? Put points on the board, sit back and relax, because the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Hurts just did not – he Russell Henley'd the whole afternoon.
Dude, you have to ask yourself, like, he's 23 years old, but how much further is that guy going to get you? He's not much, I guarantee you.
He looked uncomfortable. His first playoff game, you got to grant him that, but I think he's got to take a big step forward next year.
I'd love to see a big step forward.
Yeah, it'll be tough. They got to figure that out in Philly, but Marcel's coming up on the game tonight. His takes on the games over the course of the weekend and what we can look forward to next week. Raptors in action tonight, the Leafs are back in action on Wednesday night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Now, back to Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
All right, Monday Night Football tonight. It's a playoff game with the Rams at home against the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Stafford's been in the league for a long time. No playoff success. I mean, you come from Detroit. I guess that's expected. And you got Kyler Murray in the playoffs for the first time. And this line, I believe, has been bet down. I think when we bet it on Friday, it was at -4. It's now Rams by 3. And to tee up that game and look back on the weekend, we're joined now by a longtime NFLer. You can see him and hear him on FS1. Here's Marcellus Wiley. How you feeling about tonight, Marcellus? You like the Rams or the Cardinals?
Oh, man, I like the Rams, but I don't have a ton of confidence in it. And I think the entire sports world has a silent rooting interest for the Cardinals just to see how L.A. spazzes out if Matthew Stafford reminds them of his Detroit version in terms of playoff woes and issues. I don't wish ill on anybody, but, boy, that would be great theater to see how the Rams try to justify getting rid of Jared Goff so that they can get a quarterback that's obviously more talented than Matthew Stafford but can't take them any further than John Wolford did last year. So, it'd be really interested to see how the Rams could spin it, but I don't think they're going to be put in that position. I think the Rams win.
Marcellus, you think the Rams definitely between the two teams, they got the most skin in this game. The trades they made throughout the year, every quote from the organizations on their social media account is, we are all in. So they got to be under the gun to get this done tonight, huh?
Oh, obviously. Yeah. I mean, you got a genius coach in Sean McVay who seems, if you want to look at the narrative at least, took a team with Jared Goff to the Super Bowl with one hand tied behind his back. And now all of a sudden you give him the quarterback he desires, a true talent at the position, and the arm cannon of Matthew Stafford, the sky should be the limit. At least the floor should be a Super Bowl appearance. And that's what you give up when you acquire Matthew Stafford. You give up the benefit of doubt, and now we just got to see results. And if Matthew Stafford can't produce tonight, I'm not so certain that we all going to sit there and really chastise this team if they don't win the Super Bowl. But they certainly can't be one and done. They certainly can't lose a home playoff game. Not with a quarterback that is obviously more talented than the one that they just had. That took them to a Super Bowl in years past.
Marcellus, what did you make of the play call and what happened in the Cowboys game last night?
Oh, I thought that was a silly play call. I think in football, there are a couple of things you just got to remember offensively. One, you should never call a play that you can't score on unless it's a kneel down. And they weren't in the position of winning or kneeling down. So now you got 14 seconds left to play, and you got Dak Prescott there, and you no matter what you're going to score. So it was just a setup play. Here's the problem with a setup play. It's not the real play you want to run, and it has to be perfectly set up for you to even have it successful. There's no play in the NFL that perfectly goes your way. You execute, you take advantage of someone else's mishaps and miscues, but to ask your team with 14 seconds left in its season, in its playoff life, to run a perfect play and then have to make sure that the officials are in on this same perfect play, just to run the play you really desire, maybe you need to abandon that plan and try something else. So when I saw Dak Prescott take off running, I'm like, oh, one, he's not going to get far enough. Two, time is going to expire because he's in the middle of the field. And three, what's the point just to get closer for a 5-vertical play from the 25-yard line? And who's to say that from the 25-yard line, they will still be successful? So I think it was just a lot of unnecessary drama and theater for a play and for a moment that didn't need it. If anything, try and force a sideline pass, try to get out of bounds if you may, and then try to run two or three plays that way versus Dak Prescott with a quarterback run and obviously time expired.
Yeah, I've been beating this drum all day that I plant 95% of the blame on Dak Prescott. I thought he was awful yesterday. His stats would indicate that. I mean, he put 17 points on the board at home, on the turf, in a controlled environment. I mean, it's not 15 below. It's not windy. It's not outdoors. It's not on the road. He's got weapons down there, and I didn't think he performed well. And I didn't love his post game either, where I thought it was a cop-out, because we'll play the audio here. He was asked about fans, what looked like they were throwing stuff at the players. It turns out they were throwing it at the refs. And when that was brought to his attention, this was the back and forth last night post game with Dak Prescott.
But to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter, be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah, they were at referees. Credit to them then. Credit to them.
Do you think that's just off the cuff goofing around, or is there more to that? What do you make of that comment from Dak?
Yeah, I hear a lot more pain in that laughter from Dak Prescott or that intended joke than anything. It's just classic deflection. In that moment, Dak Prescott doesn't want any more scrutiny, any more heat. So he just displaces his aggression. He hot potatoes his pain and says, here, let's throw it somewhere else. And let's throw it at the low-hanging fruit, the officials. So it's a cop-out. It's a regrettable moment for Dak Prescott, who usually says at least the right things all the time. You know, that's a guy that you can say what you want about him as a quarterback, and you can question some of his execution, but you always can think of Dak Prescott in high character. That wasn't the moment. And then, like you said, it's a cop-out because the officials did their job not perfectly, just like Dak Prescott tried to do his job, but not perfectly. So why put the blame on the officials when you got a team that is the number one scoring offense in the NFL, number one offense in the NFL, number one in takeaways. And neither one of those things you live true to in terms of how you played and executed yesterday. So, yeah, it's regrettable to talk about the officials in that respect. But you know you're going to get the chuckles. And more importantly, I think he didn't want people to really ask him, what happened in that moment? You keep talking about how you practiced it over and over again. Well, did you practice handing the ball to the official instead of to your center? Because if you practiced it that way, you were practicing it the wrong way.
Right.
I think Dak just wanted the way out of that moment.
So Patrick Mahomes put on an absolute clinic last night. That was historic. The guy throws up 5 touchdowns, or the Chiefs did, in the fastest order we've ever seen in NFL history. And 24 hours prior to that, you could argue the Bills had a perfect game offensively. They didn't kick. They didn't punt. They didn't. No field goals, no turnovers, perfect on fourth down across the board. It was exceptional. It's going to be Allen versus Mahomes this week. How close do you think these two guys are to actually being on the same level, Mahomes and Allen?
I think they're on the same level in terms of performance. I would have to give the resume to Patrick Mahomes, obviously, over Josh Allen. In terms of production, you would probably give a closer nod to Patrick Mahomes. But in terms of talent and potential, oh, that's clearly Josh Allen's crown to wear. That is the most talented player we have at the quarterback position in the NFL. And when all things activate, when all things are properly executed, there is no beating Josh Allen at that quarterback position. He went out there against New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, no turnovers, no punts. And then had more touchdowns than incompletions. Man, in those elements, in that cold, Josh Allen is special. So if the team can commit to the running game like they did against the Patriots, and they go out there and just play their game in their own discipline, stay within their skin, oh, they have more than what it takes to go out there and beat Kansas City at their game.
Well, and I would say the other big dog in the AFC right now is probably Joe Burrow. You know, until Justin Herbert gets to play in the dance, he's probably going to be on the outside looking in. And I was impressed with Burrow in his first game at home, especially in the first half. That one scramble towards the sideline, and, you know, he finds a receiver, he buys his time. What do you make of Burrow and the idea that this guy's building, quickly building on his legacy in a town like Cincinnati, where it's not been known for great quarterbacks for quite some time?
You know how his talent attribute is really between his ears and you can look at him physically and say, yeah, he's good but not great, but mentally he's off the charts. I think that Joe Burrow is the next in line in terms of possessing greater mental attributes than even physical ones, and we're seeing the results of that. It's contagious that his teammates feel that same confidence go through the entire team in terms of everyone playing better than their version before Joe's Burrow. This is a team that is just maximizing its talent, and they have holes on the roster. They have issues in terms of their roster construction. But Joe Burrow's confidence and leadership and will is really what's taking this team so far so fast. And it reminds me of Tom Brady, where you just could put your finger on it when you look at it, but when you see the results, you know exactly what it is. This is just what definition of leadership looks like in Joe Burrow. And he's been doing it since college, so now I think we all got to just pay full respect to what the guy possesses in terms of mentality and moxie. Yeah, he looks special. I wasn't the highest on him coming out, but he's made me a believer very fast. And like you said, there are other talented quarterbacks out there, more talented than him. But because his greatest strength is between the ears, the sky's the limit for Joe Burrow and the Bengals.
Enjoy it tonight, Marcellus. It's going to be a fun one. We'll do it again this time next week. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer, FS1 host, and yeah, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert. How do you compete against that? If
superstar power, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. And they're all in their mid-20s. If you don't have one of those guys, you know, that's we wonder why down in Indianapolis they're like, I don't know if we can bring Carson Wentz back. Like, how are we going to compete with these guys? And you got Lamar Jackson who's there. You got Herbert clearly who's there. What if Trevor Lawrence turns into the real deal like everyone thinks he could as another guy in the AFC? Crazy, crazy young talent, crazy quarterback talent in the league right now. Anyway, Noodles, you're down in St. Louis. You're off to see Chris Pronger, get his number retired. That's going to be a fun night tonight. So enjoy that. Say hi to everyone for us. And are you flying back up here tomorrow, or what's the plan?
I will be. I'll be back at noon. My flight is at 5:40 tomorrow morning.
Direct? Well, isn't there difficult flights out of
St.
Louis?
I got to fly through New York. Yeah, I got to fly through New York, so it's going to be
Oh, my God, that would drive me crazy. I can't, like, mentally get a hold of that, like, flying past Toronto and then going backwards.
The connection.
I can't do it. I could maybe go to Chicago, but not New York.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, man. But it is what it is. Enjoy yourself tonight. We'll catch you tomorrow for There's Jamie
good.
Noodles McLennan. Hour three coming up. You and I sticking around.
And Kenny.
And our boy Kenny, on the board, making things happen like always. Al's brother, Bobby Marks, still to come. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.